This week, we order the Dukes of Hazzard on DVD before they stop selling it. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 85. Today is July 10th, 2015. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
Our break music is provided once again by the Polish ambassador. Just wanted to get that out there. And
sorry, Rob's watching the
that's all right.
Cirque du Soleil.
We're trying to figure out what's on the TV here in the bar. It's apparently the opening ceremonies for the Pan American Games.
There's much trapezing and spinning.
Yeah. So we have a potpourri of topics this time on the show. A lot has happened in the news since last we met.
A lot good.
Let's define good.
Yeah. A tragic shooting at a black church in South Carolina.
Okay, not that.
On June 18th by a white supremacist who was looking to start a race war and almost succeeded. The Supreme Court handed down a couple of monumental rulings last month, including a landmark decision on same-sex marriage. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Oh, and about 75 more people declared themselves candidates for president in the 2016 election.
And I would appreciate your vote.
And that's not an exaggeration. But before we get into that, real quick, I have a couple of jaywalking segments to start us off. You might recall Jay Leno used to do a bit called Jaywalking, where he would do man-on-the-street interviews, usually asking simple questions, giving the audience a chance to laugh at a bunch of idiots for not knowing the answer. Well, I suspect a healthy number of the folks laughing didn't know the answer either. I know when I watch these segments, I don't laugh because I don't find them funny. To me, it's just sad commentary on the state of our country and the lack of informed body politic.
And the lack of shame for
not knowing.
Right.
So I'll have a couple of links in the show notes to two videos that came out recently. One is, let me find it here. Shoot, where is it? Thank you. One is U.S. citizens signed petition to ban the American flag, and that one is especially sad because, you know, it follows on the heels of the public discussion we've been having about banning the Confederate flag from various venues. So the guy who did these videos is named Mark Dice. I think I got his name right.
Might be right.
He's got a YouTube channel, but he does this all the time. He goes out and asks these, you know, political questions on the street, kind of like we do on our YouTube channel. He asks these, you know, very pointed questions, and for the most part gets really poor answers from the people, and it's very disconcerting that there are that many idiots out there that don't have a clue about, you know, our country's history, about what's going on in the world.
He's had it where people will sign a petition to repeal. He'll say something kind of innocuous, but what they're signing is a petition to repeal, like, the First Amendment or something like that. And, oh, yeah, bro, I'm all for that. I'll sign it. Yeah.
Right. So the second one is citizens don't know what country we seceded from in 1776. So he just did this one over the 4th of July weekend, and I mean, it's just really sad. He's walking on the boardwalk, on the beach, wherever he lives. It's somewhere in California, I think. Asking all these people, you know, hey, what do we celebrate on July 4th? You know, and one gal's like, oh, it's Independence Day. And he's like, independence from what? And she says, from the South. We defeated the South, and you know,
well, we got, should celebrate
one
that
our
every
freedom.
Day.
Celebrate our independence from the South. And you know, a lot of people don't know. A lot of people don't know that we seceded from a country. The only guy who knows in the whole video is the very last one, and he's a foreigner. He's Italian tourist who's, you know, there on vacation, and he knows more about U.S. history than all the other American citizens that this guy interviewed. So it's just really, really sad. And, you know, Churchill said that the best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter. All of these people in these videos are allowed to vote. So,
hopefully they don't. But.
So circling back to our topics from past episodes where, you know, I've been challenged on why I don't vote, the system is flawed, and this is evidence of that. So that was a long, long way to go to say that Ooh. You shouldn't vote.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Well, so how much editing do you think he does to cut out people who do know the answer?
Right.
Does he ever address that? I mean, I guess it's not a lot, but
right, because if you show up and you're like, so what country did we secede from? And then you just nail the answer. That's not good video.
Right.
It's not going to splice that in.
Right. Well, and Jay Leno did the same thing, right? I don't know, and I would love to actually see some scientific data on that, like what percentage actually know the answer and what percentage don't.
Yeah. But it is true, and I look at the, I mean, part of it is the format, maybe with the filming and everything, but there's a giggling that occurs when you don't know. It's
right.
It's like you're celebrating Independence Day. Why? I don't know. Giggle, giggle. Like, it's like a funny thing. Like, you should be like, oh, crap, somebody finally asked me this. They told me in school
right.
I should know this, and now I don't. Now I'm standing on the boardwalk like an idiot, you know?
Right.
It's just like, yeah. And it's a little bit like analogous to a topic near and dear to my heart, the whole I'm bad at math thing. Like how it's just totally okay to say you're bad at math. Like,
right.
Yeah. You can't say you're bad at driving or reading, and I'm really bad at TV.
Yeah.
Know,
right.
Like,
I suck at history.
Right. It's totally socially acceptable to say you have a hard time adding.
Yeah. So I. What? How do you, you can't solve this problem, right? You can't.
No.
You can't fix stupid, as somebody famous once said. I don't remember who that was.
Pretty sure it was Ross Perot.
So what? The rest of us just have to like carry these people as part of society?
Yeah.
Evidently, yeah. Doing it there with all other aspects. Why not this?
Everything. Now listen closely to me, all right? All of our listeners, listen close. Everything in our current system of government depends upon an informed electorate. If you don't have that, the system completely collapses on itself.
But where do we draw the line? Because there are people who are way more informed than I. So they would look at me and be like, this guy can't vote. He doesn't know quantum physics and this
and he doesn't
and this
know
this.
All of Jerry's and facts about the Boxer Rebellion?
Yeah,
no!
That's fair. I don't know where you draw the line, but I think you start with maybe the citizenship test that they give illegal, you know, they give immigrants.
They don't give that to illegals. They only give that to people who are illegally trying to get in the country.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can't pass the immigration test, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to vote. I'm just saying.
Those voting lines are going to be a lot longer if we have to go in and test. Okay, now here's your ballot.
Oh, I think you should have to have a voting license. So you go to, you know, you go to the Department of Election whatever. And
if I pass the test, how long does it last? Like, do I get a good 10 years out of it?
No, I think you got to do it every 4 years.
Oh.
But
the questions change, or they always the same?
But it's the odd year before the presidential election, so.
That takes dedication.
Well.
You have to want to live here, Rob.
You want to make decisions about how we run the country, you got to be dedicated.
You made a false equivalence of an informed electorate, and then you got these goofballs there answering stupid
you know, like maybe an informal, maybe a, you know, maybe it's a little bit like my brain. I got some cells that are kicking butt up there. I mean, they are doing a day's work, you know, and there's some slacking up there too. You know, they're just like trying to remember the cast of Facts of Life. That's, I mean, so it's like, but I
Tootie,
need them all.
Miss Garrett.
Who are they? Tootie?
Blair.
Natalie. Blair.
Miss Garrett.
Miss Garrett.
I never watched the
Mr.
Facts
Drummond,
of Life.
Right?
Way to go, he was cells. On different strokes.
Yeah, that was different strokes, wasn't it? Oh, no. Come on, cells.
Anyway, back to your dead brain cells.
What you talking about, Willis?
But you need all of those to form the electorate. I'm not, I mean, you may be mischaracterizing the whole electorate as those on the boardwalk after eight beers trying to remember.
I will concede that they are perhaps not a representative sample. But the fact that they exist, as documented on the YouTube video, sure. The fact that they exist is Exhibit A.
We got to hope they don't vote.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they're dragging down society in other ways because it's not like they're... Well, I don't know the answer to that question. Now let me go run this billion-dollar company for a second. I'll be right back.
Right. And maybe it's a little bit of self-pride, you know? Maybe that's really the thing. It's not so much the voting.
Right.
But should you really be thinking, like, well, I should know that stuff, you know? Ask me that question again. I know it now.
It's just kind of like, I don't know.
Or it's like Chris Rock.
I don't know that shit. Keeping it real.
Real dumb. Well, how about, okay, you want an educated voter. How about some... educated, elected, not electorate, but the elected, the people that we are electing. Let's raise our standards for those folks.
Wouldn't it be cool if they had to, like, write an essay with no advisors in a room?
Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
A proctored exam.
Give a speech without teleprompters. Hey. Mr. Obama.
You don't want to go there,
whoa,
buddy.
Whoa,
you know, I got my finger out. You know what? This the pointer finger.
Rob's going all Mean Gene on me. Or what's his name?
That's right.
Macho Man.
That's right.
Hey, Obama's got the gift in front of the microphone.
I saw his gift.
I haven't heard him beatbox yet, so I'm not willing to.
Come on. All right, we got serious stuff. I'm a little crabby tonight.
Okay, all right.
Stuff I'm crabby about.
Okay, so moving on to our first topic here. Dylann Roof killed 9 people at the Mother Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Well done.
In North Charleston, South Carolina. And I guess after investigating this young man, they found some photos of him online where he wrapped himself in the Confederate flag and some other, I don't know, white supremacist paraphernalia.
He's wearing a South African apartheid flag.
Yes, right.
Flag on it, a jacket with that flag on it.
So okay, the shooting is obviously tragic, and you know I don't want to delve into to that necessarily, but I think that what followed after that, you know, besides the requisite discussion on gun control and all of that. Which, by the way, the story just came out today that the FBI claims they made a mistake in his background check and that he should not have been approved for the purchase of the gun that he used. But anyway, I don't want to delve into that so much as, you know, where did the national discussion go after that? What did it focus on? All you heard about
the Confederate
was the Confederate flag. And the flag that's still flying in front of the South Carolina State House, which also today was
taken down,
signed into law by South Carolina's governor, and I think tomorrow they're taking it down?
I thought they
already did today.
They took it down today. So, you know, when we talked about this earlier, I felt like, and maybe I'm wrong, but if I were black and that was the biggest change that came out of this tragic incident, was that flag came down in front of the South Carolina State House, I would feel like I had been cheated. Like,
I agree.
That, you know, this, a lot more should have happened as a result of this incident.
Like, and what would you have hoped to happen?
Well,
should we change gun laws? That's going nowhere.
No, not necessarily, but but I mean, this individual was trying to start a race war, yes. Right?
By his own admission.
Right. So I think the conversation after this incident should have focused on race relations in the country and not gotten caught up in this sideshow about the Confederate flag.
I disagree. I think that while the Confederate flag is just a flag, I think it's a perfect symbol of talking about race relations in the country. And it has to do especially with a systemic racism that seems to be like state supported. Like, and it's not, I don't think it's a racism about, you know, Jimmy down the street, he seems like a good guy, or, you know, all of us, or, you know, whatever goes on in our personal hearts. It's a feeling of state-sponsored, systemic racism that's protected by people in power. And there's not a better symbol of that in our modern world than flying the Confederate flag in front of the State House. It's not Jimmy Bob flying the Confederate flag. Sure, you go do that. You know, we'll think what we think about you when you fly the Confederate flag in front of your house instead of the American flag. But this is a symbol of state sponsored systemic racism, not just one person. And so, and this has been a conversation, as I understand it, that's gone on in the South for a long time. I mean, when I was in Mississippi, I saw Confederate flags all the time. And every so often, something would happen. They would say, "We got to get this out of here." I just heard on NPR, where we all hang out, that the history that of course the Confederate flag wasn't in front of the State House until 1961, when there was some kind of centennial going on, and they're like, "Well, we'll have it there for 4 years." Well, when the time was up, it was time to take the flag down. That was in the middle of the civil rights movement, and there was a big hubbub about taking this down. No, we're not taking this down, because this is just one more thing in the civil rights movement that we don't like. And that's why it was there until 2015. So maybe it is a little bit of a cleansing of that moment. It's a cloth that waves around. It's got stupid stars on it, you know. But it's I think symbols matter. It doesn't. It's not going to bring lives back. It's not going to stop racist idiots from doing racist things. But I think it was the very first thing that happened was the guy tried to start a race war, and a race war didn't start. You know, because I think people realize what I felt, maybe it was a little Pollyanna-ish, what I felt is like, it's like everybody in South Carolina knows that one racist guy that wants to start the race war, and they know a lot of other people that just get along just fine. You know, so they're like, "I know that kid. I know that racist kid. I've seen him a bunch of times, and I know who he is, and I can't believe he did this, but we're not falling for it because I also know all of you." So that was the first victory, but maybe this symbol does mean something.
So here, I'll say this because it will annoy the heck out of Rob.
Oh yeah, hit it.
Remember the footage of, I don't remember the ceremony or what was going on, but I believe Michelle Obama leaned over to Barack and said, "All this just for a flag?" Not about the Confederate flag, it was about the American flag.
In what context? I don't remember.
I don't remember the context. It was, I want to say it was something to do with the military. And
okay.
It was a big hubbub then because it's like, "Well, that's our flag. That flag means something."
Right.
But she was saying, "It's just a flag."
Right.
"It's just the American flag. Big deal." So, but now this flag is a big deal.
Yeah, and that does fire me up.
So, yeah, a little bit of hypocrisy there.
A little bit, but that's probably the first and only time.
I mean,
Rob was rubbing his head. I don't even want to go there.
That
would have more impact if I could remember the context of that.
I don't feel the Obamas are not patriotic. I don't feel that they hate America and they're...
Okay.
That's not how I see them. They might not think of America the way...
Yeah, frankly, I don't either. But, you know, I don't think they view it the same way that a lot of Americans do.
Right. That'll beat you up in the bar and tell you to get out of the country. Right. Not that we've met those people. But there's a... I just heard... I've been following a lot of Ta-Nehisi Coates. I learned about him from the Atlantic Monthly. And it's great magazine. You got to hit your Atlantic Monthly. Anyway, so I'm following on Twitter, and he was on NPR this morning as well.
I heard
a lot
that.
Of NPR. And he said he's like he loves his country like he loves his family. You're born into your country. You know, you're born into your family. Not everybody in your family is your favorite. You know, it's not like you don't have issues just because they're your family. You got, you know,
right.
And so what do you do with your family? You try to make it better. You try to, you know, you try to work it out. And that's what it means to be, you know, that's a lot different than a lot of people that are like, no, you love it no matter what it is, you know.
Yeah, true.
No, you talk badly about them behind their back.
That's right.
Say mean things. Don't invite them to Christmas and pretend you forgot.
Yeah, you... Then you, so, you go to France, and when they ask you about your country, you're like, I'm not much of a fan.
So
pass the cheese.
Let me circle back real quick on the comment you made that he tried to start a race war, and it didn't start. Or did it? Because 7 black churches have burned in the South in the last 2 weeks.
Media not really talking about that.
There hasn't been a lot of coverage of that, but... You know, it's
happened. I think a bunch of the FBI investigations show that I think maybe 2 of the 7 may have been arson or something. I don't know. I might be dispelling bad facts. Look it up, listeners. But I don't think. But it seems like a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, right.
And also, there's the idea of like, did he start a race war to get black people to kill white people, or did he try to inspire more white people to kill more black people?
Right. You know. So who knows? But that's one of those things where. We're still too close to it to say, you know, like there might be several more incidents now in the coming months.
For sure.
And eventually we get to the point where, holy crap, we're in the middle of a race war and it all started with that crazy coup.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know if we can say definitively one way or the other at this point.
So one of our favorite topics on the MPP is the lunatic or terrorist thing, whether a certain incident qualifies as terrorism or not. This was a big topic on Twitter while this was all going on, which I didn't really get at the time, but I'm kind of into. I think there was an article somewhere that essentially white people don't view this as an act of terrorism, but black people completely do. And so by your own unbiased objective opinion of what terrorism is and isn't, would you call this a terrorist act or just a murderous?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think by the dictionary definition, it has to be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
I mean, it really doesn't matter who's pulling the trigger or detonating the bomb.
I don't.
Well, he's not.
I think it's a question of. I can't even say motivation.
It is. That's what it is. It's motivation.
But, or I can't say that why I feel the way I do. I don't. I see it as a lunatic.
Why? What if he was a Muslim guy?
Could it be both?
Well, it could be both.
Well, a lunatic.
Yeah,
Well, maybe all terrorists are lunatics of some kind.
Like, terrorists are all lunatics, but not all lunatics are terrorists.
Right, you know? Right.
Yeah, okay, you know? Fair enough.
Because you have the Denver movie theater shooter, you know, going through trial now. I don't think anybody would really call that terrorism.
So who's this guy affiliated with? He would be considered a lone wolf, right?
Right.
Right, a lone wolf with white supremacist kind of ties and leanings.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But he wasn't directed by anybody to right.
Yeah, and that's part of the distinction for me. The other part of the distinction is, I don't think it's gonna. Will it change anybody's behavior to say, "Well, I'm not going to church because I feel like this is gonna happen again"? And that, I kind of see
what is that?
I kind of see terrorism that way.
No,
like, they're trying to change the behavior of somebody by instilling a fear in them that I can't go there anymore.
I don't think that was the motivation. I think the motivation was, come on, white people, let's all do this. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was kind of a call to arms.
Right.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much to terrorize the black people. It was like, hey, everybody do just what I did. I think that's what it was about.
So then it's not a terrorist act.
Well.
You just say if it's not to terrorize.
I mean, the definition includes influencing behavior, like you said,
right.
for political ends.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's not about the people themselves. You know, like if he just wanted to kill 9 black people, just drive down Charleston.
Okay, would
it
have been different if one of them was not was there a state senator?
State senator, yeah.
I wonder if he even. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if he even knew that.
Right.
I'm not saying he did. I'm just.
But it's got a little ISIS feel to it, to like, you know, to kill him at the church group, you know, at night and on Thursdays. You know, I mean, it's you know, something kind of sacred, not kind of sacred, super sacred in a house of worship. That's, you know, and he's
right.
And he's, I mean, there's that's and all part of it is to make it so awful. That's what ISIS is all about, right?
And,
I mean,
and they're trying to not just walking in
right.
and opening fire,
right.
but going in for a prayer meeting, sitting there for
getting
an hour with
in.
Them, right, being a part of their group, and then turning
yeah.
on them.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, is what kind of puts it over the top
right.
as,
sure.
as a
totally
terrorist type, you know.
All right, maybe you changed my mind. Maybe I'm on board now.
Because then you're, you know, you're taking what should be a completely safe harbor for those
right,
people
yeah.
involved
right.
and turning it into, you know,
right.
the
oh,
exact
it was all
opposite.
Planned out to be that way. Let me go on a little 3-minute rant here about something about this topic that, for whatever reason, I have still yet to decide, just really got me all fired up. It was this little stupid thing I saw that right after it happened, of course, before we really found, maybe when the motivations all came out, the thing that came out was, it was a screenshot of a little episode of Fox and Friends where they called this whole thing an attack on faith. This was an attack on faith. And for some reason, it just infuriated me, and I don't really know why, but what Fox News does, and maybe other media outlets as well, what they want to do when these crises come is they want to identify with the victim. You don't want to identify with the shooter. Guy. Everybody's a victim. Everybody wants to feel bad for the victims. So here you have this white supremacist guy who got around gun laws that Fox News viewers presumably don't even want there in the first place, was able to you know, enact this sort of crime. So where's the victimhood if you're a traditional Fox News viewer? You know, it's not the race thing, you know, it's not the gun thing. Oh, it must be the faith. He must have killed us for our faith. And so they're pushing this to their viewers. They're like, oh, they're coming for you too, you know, they're killing you because you're a Christian. This guy did not kill these people because of their Christian faith.
Right.
He killed them because of their race. And that's not part of the Fox News narrative, and it wasn't part of what they wanted to push out of this crisis. So I don't really know. The next challenge, what Jerry's about to challenge me on, is in what ways, compare and contrast, in what ways it's different from, you know, what other media news outlets do to promote, to tell their types of viewers what they want to hear. I don't know. It just seemed particularly crass to me in some way.
Well, I do agree that, you know, if you accept that Fox has certain talking points.
Right.
And they're going to try to make any narrative fit into those
right.
talking points. That this, even for them, was a stretch.
Yeah, right.
You know,
that's what it felt like.
It was like a bunch of them sat around in the room before they went on the air
right.
and said, "Really, this is the best we can do?"
right.
Well,
let's go.
We got to roll with
right.
it.
Right? Can we can we get a black pastor on here that says that, you know, watch out because they're coming for your Christian faith? You know,
yeah.
Sure enough, they're like, call. They got the guy on speed dial. He shows up. You know.
But it's not unique to Fox.
It's not, and I should just calm down about the whole thing. But just
yeah, just calm down, Rob.
I don't want to. Give me like a minute. There, I said my piece. MPP cathartic that way. Jeremy, whatever.
Jeremy, final thoughts.
No, I don't have much use for Fox or CNN or anybody who's spinning a narrative because they. This is definitely off topic, but it'll. Ooh, Rob, you'll like this a lot. I've probably said it before, but so I'm gonna go watch some coverage of this on the internet.
Right,
a little video clip.
Right.
Click on the video. Boom. Little 15-second commercial pops up for the new Chevy Camaro. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay, I don't want to watch a commercial that's
right.
trying to be funny or whatever. When
right.
I'm going to watch a story about 9 people getting shot.
Yep.
So
that's not
Fox. That's everybody.
That's more the free market thing. More than
the free market.
But I mean, and
so
like,
for
I especially felt it during the Ferguson riots, because I was like, it's like, sorry, Post-Dispatch, but I had to get my stuff. And it was Post-Dispatch photographers and journalists that were really bringing out the information. So hat tip to them. But I wasn't buying the paper. Sorry. Sorry about it. You know, so I was following it on the...
And they won the Pulitzer for that coverage.
They did great. They did great. But I followed them all on Twitter. But following crises on Twitter is just schizophrenia.
It's exhausting.
I mean, there's great articles. There's great pictures. And it's like, then somebody posts like, having trouble sleeping tonight. You know, it's like, what? Like, get out of the feed. Don't you see the feed means something, you know? But it's just, it's interleaved with...
Right.
Idiotic
yeah,
stuff.
The signal-to-noise ratio is not high enough.
Yeah, and when it's a slow news day, and you're getting a little like, oh, State House government did this thing, and here's like somebody talking about their Chevy Camaro. It's like, it's all fine, you know? But in crises, it's really, I mean, it's as you're scrolling through, it's just...
So did you look at any other coverage, like CNN? I guess they were towing the line, or NPR. I'm sure they were towing the line on what it really was.
I don't know how I know what I know about the issue. Okay. It's probably mostly from reading Twitter stuff.
How does it take the shooting of the lady in San Francisco by the illegal immigrant who had a stolen gun from a Fed, some kind of, I don't even know what type of federal official he was, but it was a stolen firearm from some kind of Fed. So how are they spinning that?
I don't know.
What was that an attack on? Because you can't say, illegal immigrants are committing crime. No, they're not. You know? Yeah, he did.
Not that guy.
So, what? Have you seen any spin on that?
I have not.
Well, I'm interested to see what other spin there is.
Right.
Is it an attack on peers?
Right, or does it just show up as a you know, another murder that occurred?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
What we're getting at, or what I'm getting at here, is that I don't have a talking point for what you were talking about. So
it just seemed like such a stretch and a reach, and so obvious. You know, it's like we all know what's going on when we watch Fox and Friends. You know, we don't need to. You know,
why do you watch Fox and Friends?
Yeah, exactly. Why do you watch it?
Sometimes I do watch it. I usually don't.
You watch it and then you go lift weights. Is that what?
I watch it and it makes me furious, and I love it. Get Steve Doocy.
Steve Doocy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to hit up a couple more topics here we've got lined up. So stay with us. We'd like to talk about the recent Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage now, and I want to lead us off here with my comment about marriage being regulated by the government. Rand Paul recently made some comments along these same lines that he thought we should privatize marriage, that the government shouldn't be involved at all in regulating marriage, and I tend to agree with that. I think our practice of regulating marriage is antiquated. It goes back to a time when we were worried about cousins marrying each other and producing, you know...
Well, I'm still worried about that.
Somehow, you know, babies with birth defects, or I don't know. I can't even wrap my head around what all the issues were that we were trying to prevent from happening by getting involved in you know, regulating marriage, giving people licenses to get married. Why? Why is the government involved at all in marriage?
Well, that's largely a money grab.
Level?
That's a money grab.
What?
That's a money grab.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's
it's just another source of revenue. So get government out of marriage completely, and then nobody cares, right? Nobody cares who gets married to who.
So don't you think this is, first of all, big fan of the decision, but don't you think this is one step towards that?
I mean,
to me it was.
So if it wasn't clear, I'm a fan of the decision as well.
Right.
I don't think anybody should tell gay people they can't marry each other. I don't think they should tell hetero people they can't marry each other. So,
right. I thought it should be a victory for conservatives as well. I mean, it's just saying marriage is this union thing.
Right.
We call it this union thing. If you want to have a holy, good old Catholic man, I'm not as good of a Catholic as I used to be, but it should be, as I've said on the podcast before, it should be like, if you want to sign up for the government to say you're a union, go do that. That's a hollow government institution giving you a stamp of approval. If
right.
you want something sacred that really means something, you got to go to the church to do that, and they'll provide it or they won't. You know, that's up to them to decide. But to the government is not the government is not providing the blessing of this moral union. The government is saying, okay, you guys can be a union. You guys get a little bit of automatic rights in terms of healthcare, knowledge transfer, tax implications, whatever. Fine, who cares? I mean, it's a government
right.
thing. Now, if you want to know if your Catholic priest is okay with it, well, go ask your Catholic priest. He'll tell you what he thinks.
Do you think the government is going to stay out of the religion side of it?
There was a paragraph in the Supreme Court decision that is specifically mentions, much to the blind spot of conservatives, that specifically mentions that it gives no direction that any religious objection to any of this can be infringed upon. I mean, if I could find you the paragraph, put it in the reading room. Nobody read it.
For now,
but that was part of the decision.
So, yeah, it explicitly said that, you know, members of the clergy aren't going to be forced to perform same-sex unions if they have a religious objection.
Right. Yep,
religious institutions, which I think includes schools, aren't going to be required to recognize same-sex marriages if they violate, you know, their religious beliefs. But yeah, like you said, for now, for the time being,
yeah,
it's baby steps, right?
Right.
Right.
The reason I bring this is a separate topic, but similar circumstances. California is moving to no longer allow religious exemptions for not getting your children vaccinated for school.
Right. Yeah.
So, same idea.
Yeah, same idea. Although they are still allowing homeschoolers to be exempt.
Oh, well, there you go.
So,
keep the kids at home.
Well, I
know I'm supposed to be the conservative on here, but I support the decision, too.
Good man.
Because I don't care.
That's why you should be.
All right.
That's exactly how you should be.
None of your damn business.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Great. It's legal now. Can everybody just shut up about it? Go get married. Do whatever.
It should be divorced. It should be an arrangement between two people and their God, and nothing more and nothing less.
I think anytime Supreme Court decisions come out, I always enjoy the schizophrenic reactions of you know, for this particular one, if it's an anti-conservative, you know, decision, I always like to think like, oh, they're overriding the Constitution. Like, have you read the Constitution? It says, you know, Supreme Court can decide on certain laws that affect the rights that are defined in the Constitution. It's all in there. It doesn't say states can go do whatever they want. It says some rights are common for all Americans, and in this way they made that decision. You can quibble whether that's the right
decision. I don't know if I agree with that, because I mean, the 9th and 10th Amendments say the states can do whatever they want, unless the Constitution explicitly forbids them from doing
exactly. it. Exactly, and that's what the Supreme Court's there to decide.
Yeah, but the Supreme Court really didn't have any power in this country until Marbury versus Madison.
Oh, Marbury.
Dial up the Wayback Machine.
Seriously, I mean, nobody really knew what the function of the Supreme Court was until Marbury versus Madison.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, I know you wanted me to ask.
So, Marbury versus Madison occurred while Thomas Jefferson was president. Okay, so.
Okay.
1803, maybe? I don't know, I probably have the date wrong.
Country kind of getting going a little bit.
Yeah. But up until that point, the Supreme Court had never ruled on anything that was going to impact, you know, the general population. And it wasn't until that case that people kind of widely accepted the notion that the Supreme Court was there to ride herd on the other two branches of government. I mean, it's outlined that way in the Constitution. But that case was the test.
What was the case?
Well, the case had to do with presidential appointments to ambassadors and, you know, other public offices. And I'm trying to remember the details now. And anyway, there was somebody who was supposed to be appointed to an office, and they weren't, and they, they filed suit against, now the details are just completely going out of my mind. So now I feel stupid even bringing it up.
Well, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. It's a good thing you don't vote.
Yeah, that's right. That should be on the voting test.
All right. Well, that's what Google's for, right? So you don't have to remember all the details.
Anyway, good decision.
Good decision. Good decision.
So, well, I did not change my Facebook profile, which is the default like white head thing. I did not put a rainbow stripe on it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Neither did I. And I didn't do the American flag one. I didn't do any other flags. But so, what I liked was the dissenting opinions. And I want to go read the whole dissenting opinion because I.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
On the record.
Hit the pause button.
Okay.
But part of it was, I don't remember which justice, but he said, if these words are to be interpreted as what the majority opinion said, then words no longer have meaning. That is in the dissenting opinion.
Let's just take your ball and go home.
Yeah, it was like, okay, how can you possibly interpret that way was essentially what that was saying. It's
yeah.
Actually, it depends on the definition of what is.
You know? Right.
But, so that was all I had. I just I want to read the dissenting opinion.
I think I've been, my conservative friends and family have been silent on these issues. I haven't heard anybody get really mad about it or say, like, God, I really want this Confederate flag in South Carolina. I don't know.
Oh, Matt, we have a special guest artist, Mr. Matt.
Guest artist.
Our listener Matt has something to say.
Live.
Well, right, I just think it's interesting how, okay, so the federal government has made gay marriage legal, right?
Yes.
The states are not allowed to disagree with that.
Right.
Well, what about the marijuana issue where it's not legal with the federal government, but each state is legalizing it as they see fit? It's a complete opposite situation,
right.
But it's like different rules applying.
Well, I think that's why you have, if depending on what way you're for, if you maybe, let's just assume that you want pot to be legal in all states, maybe our state. I don't know. Let's just assume that. Then. I think you would need the Supreme Court to you would need either Missouri to legalize it, or you would need the Supreme Court to say that there's like some constitutional right that's being violated by us not being able to toke the poke.
Or
is that a term?
No.
I think this is an insightful approach to the argument, because Or you need the Justice Department to say we're not going to enforce this.
That's the executive branch doing their thing.
Which is what they did with the Defense of Marriage Act, right?
Right.
Because there is a federal law saying that marriage is one man, one woman.
Right.
And the Justice Department said, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, we are not going to enforce this anymore.
They're like, oh, I'm real busy. I can't go and do this.
Right.
You know,
but they have not come out and said that about marijuana laws.
No, not
now,
at all.
I think the Obama administration has kind of made comments along those lines. But there hasn't been anything as overt,
right.
And certainly at the DEA level, they're not.
They're still doing their thing.
They're not pulling back at all. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting question, Matt.
That's why this was such a big thing.
What is the difference there? Why?
Well, I think the difference is the Supreme Court in this case, or somebody felt that they could bring this case to the Supreme Court at a time when the Supreme Court might decide that by some states restricting that, they're violating a constitutional right. And so they were able to win. So
if they could move to a different state.
Well, yeah, you could do that with anything, marijuana or right. But I think that's what the Supreme Court's all about. Is like, you have your state's rights, but you can't, like if a state passed a law that says women can't drive or whatever it is, you know, then you need that's what the Supreme Court's there for, is to say this state, this law, even if it's passed a law in that state, you know, is not allowed to, that's
so,
not an okay law.
So you might be able to say that the difference is that what are we at now? 30 something states had legalized same
sex. Is that true? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about weed.
No, same sex marriage.
Rob,
right?
I've never seen Rob that excited before.
What? How many weed states are there?
Maybe it wasn't like that eight, many. Right? Maybe it was 20-something. But it was over half, I think, that had already legalized same-sex marriage. Weed, we're looking at, what, 5, 6 that have legalized it for recreational use? Maybe another dozen or so that have legalized it for medical use? So maybe we just haven't reached that critical mass yet on the marijuana issue. You know, we'll get there. It's going to happen.
Right.
It's just a matter of time. And then, you know, the next domino will fall and we'll, you know, finally get back to where we were in 1933 or whatever before the first Narcotics Act was passed. And you could go buy heroin at the local, you know, at your corner drugstore.
You can now. It's just on the corner outside.
Right. That reminds me of... Somebody posted a picture, this is kind of off topic, but somebody posted a picture on Facebook that I thought was really poignant. It was a picture of a black man standing. It's the Humans of New York. Have you seen this webpage?
Yep.
It was a black man standing on the street, and he said a white woman came up to him and asked him if he sold drugs. And he looked at her and said, do you sell slaves? I thought that was really good. Anyway, completely off topic.
No, it was actually Africans who were selling the slaves to the white people.
Right. Yeah.
Let's not talk about the truth now.
It doesn't make it okay.
That's
fine.
I didn't say it was okay.
Such a false argument.
Why is that a false argument, Rob?
We need Matt's microphone. Pointed at him.
I didn't say it was okay. I just pointed out the fact.
Yeah, Matt pointed out that there were actually Africans selling the slaves to the white people in Africa. And, yeah,
okay.
That is a true statement.
In their defense, they thought they were just going to rent them, but...
All right,
that was terrible. I should...
Yeah, that was... Do we have any other things to say on same-sex marriage, or should we move on to...
I think we should move on to
All right. A
different hobby.
So my last topic that I wanted to touch on here was the GOP candidate field for the upcoming presidential election. And NPR did a story a week or so ago talking about how there are now 14 candidates in the GOP field, and there are two more expected to announce within the next several days. And they were just commenting on, you know, how large this number is. And my issue with this is if you check the Federal Election Commission website that lists all of the people who have filed the paperwork and declared themselves candidates, there's something like 300 people running for president in 2016. And at least half of them are Republicans. So the GOP field is actually much, much larger, like an order of magnitude larger than 14. But obviously, NPR and other members of the mainstream media have, you know, have developed their own criteria for determining who's a top-tier candidate, who's actually a, quote, viable candidate, and who's not. And I object to that. I don't believe that the fourth branch of government should have that power. So, you know, why?
What should they do in such a goofball situation?
Well, I
debate
mean,
of 300.
Get creative. Figure it out. But don't just say we're gonna take a poll and only the top 10 are gonna get invited to the debate.
That's how they got creative and figured it out.
Well, it perpetuates the system that, you know, the same media will complain about that Citizens United, you know, supposedly made this so much worse because only the guys with the big money now can actually get elected. If you're
That's
really
true.
That concerned about that, why aren't you focusing on the long tail, right? On the bottom 10 of the candidate list instead of the top 10. Give them some exposure. Give them some time on, you know, some face time on TV and on radio, and ignore the guys who are spending millions of dollars a month on advertising. It just seems kind of hypocritical to me, right?
Maybe.
I agree with Jerry on this one.
No. Come on, free market conservative.
What?
Nobody's going to tune in to see Joe Bob and Jimmy Bob.
Are you kidding?
Oh, are you kidding?
Would
of course
tune
they would.
In big time.
That would that'd be the highest rated debate
maybe
ever.
Yeah. Maybe for you guys.
Guy rolls up in a tank top and a trucker hat.
The rent is too damn high, guy. He'll show up.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say that, those folks will never get elected, so we're not going to include them in the, you know, in the official debate. But then complain that, the only guys who ever get elected are the ones with all the money.
I think we're...
And it's not even the...
I don't know what I think. All I know is that this is a very modern phenomenon. And I think it's happened in the last couple elections it seemed like when I was a kid, or as I understood it as a kid, like people were... It was real nerve-wracking whether you would run or not. Is this guy going to put his hat in the ring? The old hat in the ring. You had a ring with a hat, right?
Right.
I mean, I always liked that. That's like... I always get to put hat in the ring metaphor to good use because it's where it all came from.
Well, and you didn't throw your hat in the ring until January of the election year.
Right, right. And,
right?
Right. And it was
and now it's January of the year before election
But there
year.
Was a lot of, like, before that, there was a lot of hemming and hawing whether you could really make it and whether it was really your time to run. Well, now I think it's a social media thing. I mean, there's essentially no reason to not say you're a candidate.
Right.
Joe Biden might have zero aspirations for the presidency. He's got zero reasons not to just say he might try, right? He's going to get free publicity. He's going to get more Twitter handles. I don't know. Do you get handles? I don't know. You can see it's like it's a very modern phenomenon that just everybody running, you know, you can always drop out, but you might make some money. You might get some, you know.
You can run simply for the vanity of it, right?
Right. Where it seemed like before, if you ran and you got crushed, it was kind of embarrassing, right?
Right.
That might have done in your chances. Now you just throw it in there, baby. That's putting the media. Like, I mean, before the parties would decide, you know, the candidates, and then the media would just say, "Well, who's your..."
What criteria do the Secret Service use to decide which candidates
they're
actually
going
to offer protection to? Like. Because Fox can say it's the top 10, but the Secret Service is, oh, hell no, it's only the top 3.
Right.
That's right. No one's gunning for you, buddy. You'll be all right. That's a good point.
I talked about this on the pre-show. I was in California when the Gray Davis recall election happened.
Yeah.
And it was a similar situation where there were way more candidates than there needed to be.
Right.
Gary Coleman was one of them.
Absolutely.
Mary Carey, the porn star.
Yes. I would have voted for her.
Yeah, maybe.
If I voted.
But then there were guys like Bob the Engineer from, you know, wherever in the boonies of California.
From Oceanside.
Yeah. And there he is in his, you know, sitting on his riding lawnmower was his campaign photo or whatever.
Yeah.
But the newspaper had blurbs about all these candidates, and it was, of course, when they had the debate, it was Schwarzenegger and who's the Huffington lady or something, you know, I forget her name, but, and a couple of other seemingly viable candidates, but it was, they did give press to people who had no chance of getting elected.
Well, that's good. I mean, because it's sort of a vicious circle, right? If you don't if you don't get any coverage in the press, then how can you get elected?
Right.
Right. And if the editors decide, oh well, you can't be elected, so I'm not going to waste my time on you.
The other interesting thing to me is Donald Trump.
There's nothing interesting about Donald
Nothing
Trump.
Nothing interesting about
really?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Zero.
Donald Trump is the Flavor Flav of the GOP, right?
Donald Trump says more that most Americans agree with than any other politician.
That may be true. I don't know.
Rob is wrinkling his face because he knows I'm right.
I'm not sure that you're right.
Whatever. I believe I am.
Well, that's all that
Donald
matters.
Trump is
Why
that's
his all. Popularity so high right now?
Huh?
If people don't agree with what he's saying,
it speaks to the awfulness of the GOP is what it does.
Oh, get out of here. The awfulness. They're trying
to
shut him down, Rob.
Hillary Clinton.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you're a GOP fan, who are you looking at? You got your Jeb Bush? You got your... I mean, so Donald Trump shows up, you're like, that's not so bad.
From Louisiana, who is, man, he is a walking caricature. I'm not finished talking about Trump, so go ahead and say what you think. Yes. No.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Donald Trump is a sideshow.
I agree.
I think
he actually tries to be a sideshow to a certain extent.
Yes,
I think he's a perfect example of what I talked about in the social media. It does him no harm to throw his hat in the ring and get a lot of publicity for Trump, and he could do his thing. And now I'm watching on Twitter, here's Trump your cat. Everybody's getting their cat Trump haircuts.
Well,
there you go, Trump your cat. I mean, there's no downside.
But there is a downside. He talked about, and maybe this is just him being a blowhard and trying to spin something, but so his comments about illegal immigrants, he said it's hurting the Trump brand. All the backlash is hurting his brand. He has a brand out there.
Sure.
And it's hurting him. So.
Well, so he had to know those comments were controversial.
Yes, I believe.
So,
did.
I mean, he should not be surprised that NBC drops him, that, you know, all the people who air the Miss USA pageant drop him. I mean, he can't be surprised by any of that.
No,
they also misconstrued
his
comments.
As they're going to take it and spin it in the worst way,
so,
because they don't want to support him. The GOP, contrary to what Rob was saying, showing the worst of the GOP, they want to shut him down. So it's the other end. He's a rich guy, so he should be able to get elected, right? Well,
right.
No, he can't because he says things that don't go along with the party.
I agree with that. I think there are definitely, you know, the party is not behind him. They've already decided he should not be in the race, so they're not going
but
to...
But he should be. He's a viable candidate. He's shown to be a good businessman.
Well, so what point was he trying to make in bashing Mexico and calling them all criminals and rapists.
Well, he didn't say Mexican immigrants. He just said immigrants.
Well, no, I think his exact words were about...
illegal immigrants.
I don't remember his exact words.
The
point he was trying to make...
But the media said Mexican immigrants, or illegal Mexicans.
So you're saying he did not call out Mexico in particular?
He did not.
Okay. Well, regardless, what is his point in bringing up the immigration issue? Is he
his point is we have a problem?
Is he complaining and we need to do about something. The? Is he complaining about the fact that the government won't enforce its own laws, or is he complaining about the fact that there are too many people coming into this country?
I think he's complaining, in a way, both, saying we have a problem and it's not being addressed. It's hurting America. I will address it.
Okay. So we've talked about immigration several times on the show.
I
don't agree. There should be no laws governing immigration. Anybody that wants to come to this country for the opportunity.
There's a caveat on that you always put out, so go ahead and say it.
What?
We only care about that because they get benefits.
Right.
So there should be no benefits to anybody.
Right. Get rid of all the benefits.
There are, and they're not going to get rid of all the benefits.
All right. Well,
so we have to talk to the reality of the situation, which is we have a problem.
And that's why I asked. If he is complaining about the fact that the government won't enforce its own laws, then I'm on board with that, and I can agree with him.
Okay.
But then there were different ways he could have broached the issue, and he could have said it differently.
Yes.
To address that in particular, because all he comes across as is a xenophobic bigot. And that's why he's being crucified by the media, and that's why he's being crucified by the GOP.
Sure.
So he stuck his foot in his mouth. Now he's paying the price.
Okay. But he's also the only politician who is saying there's a real problem here.
Why can you not have a politician that could say that and not...
Exactly. Why can you not? But apparently we can't, because the media, no matter how they couch it, the media says this guy hates immigrants.
Well, so...
And the reason I like Donald Trump is because he has enough money.
He doesn't care.
He's not beholden like other politicians. Like, you know what? So what? Call me that. He's not going to offer up the fake apology that they all offer up when they make a misstep.
And normally that would be an advantage. I agree. But he needs to hire better handlers, in my opinion. Somebody who's going to tell him, oh no, you can't say that.
I don't think he cares.
Well, okay, so he doesn't care, but then he can't be serious about actually getting elected. If he's in the campaign because he wants to drive the discussions in certain directions, there's certain topics he wants to make sure are discussed, okay, fine. I don't have a problem with that, as long as he recognizes he's not going to get elected because he's already offended a good portion of the people who need to vote for him in order to get elected.
And then if you're really worried, then if he hitches his star to the GOP flag, I mean, the GOP's already got an issue with whole swaths of the community, and it's just going to make that whole thing that much worse. And that's why I don't think the GOP is distancing himself because he's isolating a problem. I think he's angering swaths of the electorate. So it's good for Donald Trump. It's good for Donald Trump. You get a lot of Twitter followers. You get a lot of pub. You get a lot of free publicity. But it's not good for the GOP. It's not good for the conservative cause.
I agree that he needs to tighten up his message.
I would like to see him stay in the race long enough. Right.
His poll numbers are increasing. What I'm interested to see is the tipping point where other politicians start to see, well, if I take a piece of that message say that, I might be able to get on board. So then you get a few of the mainstream candidates who start to fall in line. But
you tilt the needle a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
I still want to vote for him.
Okay, bottom line, none of us would vote for Trump.
No, I said I still want to vote
for him. I thought you said you wouldn't vote for him.
Well, I'm a little excited. I'm like, there's a little final note. I'm a little excited and with my pledge to not vote for Hillary. They got Bernie Sanders, my fellow Vermonter, straight in the mix.
Wait, right. You're against Hillary?
I made a pledge that I would not vote for Hillary in the election. I wouldn't say that I wouldn't.
We don't believe him, but no, he made the pledge nonetheless.
No, it's a completely honest pledge. Now, note, I didn't say I'd vote for the Republican challenger. I just said if she's the she's the primary, I'm not voting for her.
So now,
from my time in Vermont and with a whole state of bad hair and funny accents that like
free maple syrup.
That's right. To have Bernie just bringing it, it's great.
All right, Jeremy, you got any stories in the reading room you want to talk about?
One is not in the reading room, but yes. I have two things I want to talk about. First thing, back to last episode, we were talking about the shaming, fat shaming at Bush Stadium. Well, I saw something on my Facebook page from a friend, female I knew in high school. She posted a picture from the baseball game of a lady sitting in front of her who was, I think the lady, it was hard to see in the picture, but I think she was wearing probably a sports bra and then a t-shirt over it that had the sides cut out of it, or just really open sides, like some kind of throw-on shirt. And she posted that on Facebook saying, hey, could you class it up a little if you're going to the baseball game?
Right.
You're a grown lady. Well, the only real discussion on her page was these two guys who got into an argument over who was more educated, because the one guy had a bunch of typos in his post. It wasn't even about...
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah, it was so goofy, but I thought... And it has to be because this was on somebody's private Facebook page, and it wasn't a business, and it wasn't...
Right, right.
But it was the
same
shaming,
idea.
Right. Somebody's out in public, she snaps a photo of her, and starts railing on her about, look what you're wearing out. Who cares? You're at the baseball game.
So, at risk of offending all 42, 21, 9 MPP listeners, like, was she hot?
Couldn't tell. She was not, let's just say she fit in the seat for one, but you could pretty much just see her left side.
Right.
That was about it. Couldn't really see anything above her shoulders, if even her shoulders.
And I think it's something about the whole fat shaming thing. It's like we know it's just presented to the universe that you have you got a problem. You're way too big, So the ridicule of what that is, is like a little distasteful. But if like, hey, you're hot and you're bringing it, I mean, it's a little, it flips the script a little bit,
So
like, hey, you're bringing it too much,
Well, it wasn't that she was hot, dressed hot. It was, it looked like
it was
just
trashy.
Rolled out of the gym.
Oh, it was a trashy thing.
Yeah, it was a trashy.
Oh, see, I didn't get that.
No,
I thought you were saying
like,
it was
like
a
she was
tart.
Showing to, no, it wasn't like that. It was, it was.
Like, wear a shirt that doesn't have, your sides ripped out of it.
Yeah. And maybe it's because the fat shaming is that's something that happened to them. They can't help that.
Right.
Clothes, you can pick your clothes.
Right,
on.
you can wear a shirt with sides on it.
But so it didn't really. I haven't looked. I'll have to look after the episode tonight to see if there have been any new posts, but I have a feeling it's just those two guys going back and forth about
typos.
Well, you will learn how to spell.
But I think the compare and contrast is what makes that different, than the other case.
My final thing, I believe, story in the reading room about Rolling Stone hit with round of layoffs. I didn't read that story, so I don't have anything specific about that story. But back to the whole rape story that was printed in Rolling Stone, and then the fallout from that when it turned out to not be true. I was at Target a couple weeks ago. I happen to be a big fan of the rock group U2. I was going through the checkout line. There's a Rolling Stone, and they had this special edition issue, and it was all about U2. I picked it up. It was like $13, which... it's not going to break the bank for me, but still, it's a little more than a normal magazine. So I flipped through it, and then I put it back, because I thought, I really don't want to buy anything from Rolling Stone. I don't want to I don't want to give them any of my money. So, however small, that was capitalism at work, Rob.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So maybe another person lost their job because I didn't buy that one issue.
That's good. Way to go.
Good job, Jeremy.
Way to vote with your
Thanks.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
Yeah, see? Okay, one story that broke in the last 30 days that I wanted to touch on briefly was the Rachel Dolezal.
It's a great story.
It is. It's a fantastic story. And the best part of it all was one of our listeners posted on our Facebook page, the comment just said, "Orange Lives Matter." And I thought that was brilliant.
Brilliant.
So it's an oddball story, right? I mean, there's so much wrong with it. But, I kind of get it. Like, it's the same reason that, you know, everybody calls Bill Clinton our first black president, right? That he could identify with them in some way that previously no one could. Is it possible that there are within the white population people who do feel a close identification with blacks and you know can act as some sort of ambassador for the black community?
Sure. Completely.
Yeah. So was she doing a good job? That's the
So I mean obviously, lying on any kind of application or a form that where you have to call out your race, maybe that's not acceptable. But I mean, should she have done what she did?
No, obviously not.
Should she have been forced to resign because of what she did?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
It's a lie.
It's a breach of trust.
For personal gain.
Yeah.
Okay, but...
Well, maybe you could argue it wasn't for personal gain. It was for, I want to help this cause. I think I'll be good at it. I have to be this to be able to do that, so I'm just going to do this. And it won't really hurt anybody because I'm doing this good thing.
Right. Yeah. I mean...
All the warranties on all my product, my things I buy are voided because I always put a different race than Caucasian when I fill out those little warranty cards. I change it up. Alaskan, Eskimo, whatever is on there.
Asian.
Just screwing up all their stats. They're like, man, we got a lot of...
You did that because of that Seinfeld episode.
I do. But no, she shouldn't have done what she did. Clearly, if you listen to her mother talking about her, there seems like there's something wrong with her mentally. Not the mom, the lady.
Right. Rachel.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what... How did she even get to that point? That's
right.
What I can't figure out in my head.
I didn't read any stories that kind of documented how she got there. Like, how did she get hired by the NAACP first?
Powerhouse Spokane, Washington, NAACP.
Well, I mean, Spokane's not a small town by any means, but...
So I did read an article about this, that one of the things that kind of granted her access is there's a real reluctance. I'm obviously feel bad talking about this from my very whitey-white perspective, but there's a real reluctance in the black community of people telling other people that they're not black enough. Oh, you're not one of our kind, because there's a lot of disenfranchisement that goes on and that whole argument. So if you're fighting for colored people, you're not.
Did you just
primary,
say colored people?
And this, the CP, I'm sorry, I did say that, but I said it because of the exact CP of the
NAACP. I know,
NAACP.
I find that funny that
right.
they keep that name, even though that is a term you do not use.
Right, but there's a real, it's very uncool to start classifying, is Obama black or not black? Is he black enough? Is he,
right.
What about this percentage? There's a lot of controversy in that. So if somebody self-identifies as black and wants to help the black cause, then I think the thing to do is to bring him in. I mean, that's how you get in.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that, like, the theme of the week maybe is just how much, and it's part of our human just fallacy and our failing of the way we're built and how we're maybe evolving past. It's just how much is the phrase race is a social construct. It's like it's a thing that doesn't really exist, but we've kind of like, it's not a thing, it's not a fact, it's not atoms and molecules. It's just a thing that somehow we've placed on certain people.
Right, so you pigeonholed that, everybody.
Right, so we have these people that kind of ride the transition in between, and it confuses things. Or you have Obama. Is he really the black president, or is he really the white president? He's half white, you know.
Right.
You know, well, he's black enough that if he moves into your neighborhood, you're going to talk to your neighbors about it, and that makes him black, you know.
Right.
So then, you know, with the Confederate flag, you know, coming down and the shootings, like, it's like, man, we're all people, man. Get with it. We're all people.
Yeah.
And it brings back, since we have Matt here who's shaking his head in disgust, what I offer Matt is a respite of hate. I allow your hate to simply transition into a better place. We have all kinds of people to hate. We have stupid people to hate.
Yeah.
We have dumb people to hate. We have people that don't take care of their kids to hate. We have all kinds of kids to hate. People to hate. Stop hating based on race or ethnicity or where you came from.
Yeah.
I don't care what your race is. You're taking care of your kids and taking care of your house and you're not going to go shoot me. I love you, man. I mean, there's lots of things. You don't have to give up your hate. Just focus the hate the right way. Focus that hate.
Preach on, Brother Rob.
I often thought, I think I mentioned this before, but I often thought when I lived in the city and I went to the Lowe's, there were some crazy looking people at the Lowe's in the city. And I was like, all you, my brothers, you are at least made it to the Lowe's to find a gutter or something, to do something. You're trying. You're A+ in my book. You're my Lowe's brothers, right? You know who I have an issue with? I don't care what your race is. I have an issue with you, who's not doing anything on your house and the
right.
whole neighborhood's falling to crap. You know, like that's like that doesn't even know where the Lowe's is. Like that's who I have an issue with. I don't care if you're like building your concrete the wrong way and your steps look like little Willy Wonka house. That's not what am I thinking? Tilty Whirl? I don't know. I don't really care if you're building your steps wrong. I'm just happy you tried to build a step. Because
yeah.
you know who we should hate? The guy who doesn't care that his steps are busted.
Right.
And he's got to do a little 6-foot leap to get up to his porch every morning.
Right. The guy who hasn't mowed his grass in six
right.
months.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how we follow that up. That was...
Yeah, that was profound.
Explosion.
I'm just glad we banned that damn Confederate flag. Now all the murders in Chicago and North St. Louis, it will cease.
Yes. We finally solved that problem.
Matt!
If anyone's interested, I do have a General Lee model car, authentic, that
oh,
is
yeah?
for sale.
I used to have one, but he painted mine green.
All right, we'll put that up on our website for sale for anybody who's interested. So, speaking of our website, if you have comments you'd like to send us, email us at feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com, or you can follow us on any of the social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're even on Elo. Yeah.
We're on what? Ellen?
Elo.
Oh, Elo.
You're on dudes. You're not on Elo.
So check us out on all those sites and send us your comments. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.